covering technology and innovation throughout the capital city. Welcome to Austin iLab on the new Talk Radio 96.3 and 1370.
Hello, welcome to the Austin Innovation Lab on Austin's Talk Radio 96.3 and 1370. I'm your host, Kyle Frazier, here in the studio with co-host Stefan Lubinsky as well.
Yo, yo.
And that's what's up. So, big thanks right now to BizTV. This is television for entrepreneurs. You can find their website at biztv.com, but you can also, if you don't get that through your current cable provider, you should ask them.
Yeah, what's up with that?
What's up with that? Yeah, why not? The other thing you can do is you can go online to biztv.com. You can go to Ustream.
Yep.
You can go to Roku now, I think.
Roku.
You can go to
TiVo.
So it's out there. You should dial in.
There's really no excuse for you not to be watching BizTV. And what's the content? It's it's video content for entrepreneurs and small businesses like you listening. So check out BizTV and thanks for underwriting this programming.
Should be right in your wheelhouse. Well, without further ado, we want to welcome our guest this week. It's Joseph Vann. He's the founder, CEO of TeacherGraph. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
So let's get go back to the beginning, if you will, of your sort of journey into entrepreneurialism. Tell us how you got to where you are today before we get into what TeacherGraph is and what you do.
Sure, yeah. So I would say that most of my previous professions have kind of been building up to this moment. You know, I left school with a communications degree and went into graphic design.
What school was that?
University of Texas, in Austin.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so right out of school, moved up to Dallas. Learned graphic design, web development, email marketing, campaigns, etc. And from there, I went over to a hosting company, also in Dallas. Some of the same skills, really honed in my SEO skills, my marketing skills. And then I ran back to Austin. I missed this town a lot and was waiting for the right move. And then Facebook Austin came along and I joined that team. One of the best experiences I've ever had professionally and personally. Mm-hmm. And learned a lot on the support side.
How long were you with Facebook?
Roughly right under 2 years.
And yeah. What was the process like in terms of the interview process?
Rigorous.
Yeah.
Rigorous.
Tell
yeah.
us a little bit about that.
I was one of the earlier folks, so they have a really great recruiting process and team that has a high standard. And I mean, it was about 4 to 5 interviews. Really, really smart folks. You know, I've never been so humbled in my life.
And so with such a great experience at Facebook, what prompted you to look outside those walls instead of just staying as long as you could?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's one of those things where kind of opportunity meets the right time, you know, and ideas like the TeacherGraph comes up every once in a while, and this one just kind of never left.
So never left, what do you mean? When did it first pop into your head? Is this something that you've just sort of cultivated over time, or did somebody bring an opportunity and said, hey, let's go do this?
Yeah, great question. So it was one of those things where, you know, you were working at a great company with great resources and great tools, and then you go out and you talk to your friends and family, and I have friends and family who are just becoming professional educators, and I would hear them talk over at the local watering hole about all their pain points and all the manual labor that they were doing from a day-to-day perspective, and we know generally teachers are working like 9 to 12 hour days.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it was just really interesting to me that
you can go ahead and take that if you need.
Sorry, it's my alarm.
Oh, okay. You're supposed to be here. You're on the radio.
I know.
You're live.
So I turned it on airplane, but the alarm went off. I apologize.
No, no worries. No worries. So this is something that is personal to you. You've got family and friends that are in education, and you have recognized a real problem because they're talking about it, complaining about it, however you want to put it. Right?
And before you kind of dive into the problem that TeacherGraph is solving and exploring TeacherGraph, you actually took your idea to Capital Factory, meaning that's where you're kind of operating your startup, is that?
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm working at a Capital Factory a couple days a week.
And talk to us about that experience. So you're coming from Facebook, which is a very kind of defined corporate experience. I'm not suggesting that they don't operate as a startup, but I guess there's such a really large, well-established company that has kind of all of its boundaries and all of its established protocols and so forth. And you go to Capital Factory. So talk to us a little bit about what that environment change was like.
Sure. You know, Facebook Austin is a really cool environment. It feels startup-y all the time. It's a very close-knit family. And it was a little bit of a shock leaving that culture because, you know, you grow so close to these people. But I would say Capital Factory is an awesome place to work. You know, I felt like I just kind of moved down the street. There was no shock.
And for our listeners, define what Capital Factor is, because they're like, well, is that some other company? You went to go work there? So define what the Capital Factor is, what that structure is.
Yeah, the Capital Factory is a co-working space that's also an accelerator and an incubator. So, you know, I think they have roughly under 100 startups there right now, with a couple of resident startups that are always there. But a lot of folks going in and out, great minds going and mentoring. It's tons of resources. It's a really great place to get a startup going off the ground here in Austin.
And did you have to apply to be able to you know, be part of that?
Yeah. Different folks get in different ways, but generally there is an application process.
Okay. But there is a bribing process, too.
Yeah, right.
Is that be the way I'll have to look into
but
it?
But if you've got a startup and you want a place where you can collaborate, where you have access to guys that have and gals that have done this before and can be a resource, are you able to go in and for example, the co-working rent a desk and expose yourself to these people and leverage some of the talent that's there?
Right, yeah. So they're generally tech-focused. Mm-hmm. And so one of the perks of working there is like being in the kitchen and grabbing a cup of coffee and during that process meeting two or three other founders who are going through the same challenges and tribulations that you're going through. And just learning from those moments is really valuable.
That's great. Now, is there any kind of, I'm just curious, is there any kind of, when you sign on there, do you sign some sort of global NDA? I mean, quite seriously, because if I were around that many different ideas, mm-hmm. there seems to be an opportunity where you're around the water cooler, you know, with these mentoring and the sharing and the conversations. The next thing you know, you're walking away with, an idea that you might be able to execute if they haven't put in barriers to entry.
Yeah, I think that's a general fear for most startup founders. But every startup founder who's been in it for over 6 months to a year can understand that ideas are really easy to come by, you know, they're really easy to get, but the execution is all the hard part.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I've heard this is one major point of differentiation between Austin versus, you know, the Silicon Valley, where everything there's in stealth mode up until the last minute, because there's this fear that somebody's going to grab a great idea and run with it. But like you said, Joseph, it really does come down to execution, and there are very few people that can take a good idea and do something with it. And so that's a unique culture that the entrepreneurial startup community here in Austin has, which is let's collaborate, let's share, and let's risk that idea may get out there, but the benefits outweigh the costs, right? We've got this platform here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I kind of admit that I was in a Facebook tech bubble while I was working there, and then exiting that bubble was a little scary at first, but the startup community here is extremely supportive. You know, independent of industry, someone will come and reach out and help you. It's kind of the rising tide lifts all boats mentality here in Austin, which is really neat.
Absolutely. And you're left thinking, so what's this going to cost me? And it really is the pay it forward mentality. It really is. No, it doesn't cost you anything to me. It means you take the next startup that comes along and you help them out in their journey. Well, hey, we're gonna get into what TeacherGraph does and the problems that they solve. But this will be a good time to cut to a break, and we get back more from Joseph Van, founder of TeacherGraph, TeacherGraph.com. Stay tuned.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
And welcome back. You are listening to the number one show about startups in the number one city about startups. This is the Austin iLab show on 1370 AM and 96.3 FM. And we are with our guest today, Joseph Van, who's the founder and CEO of a startup called TeacherGraph. And we have learned up to this point what brought you to Austin, what brought you back to Austin, and your experience working at the Capital Factory, which is a really, really interesting space. Talk to us now about TeacherGraph. We teased out a little bit that what happened was you knew the environment, the space, the family, the friends that were in the educational space, and you knew what their pain points were, and it kept coming back to you. So when we talk about those pain points, we're really talking about communication. So talk to us about what was broken and what it is that TeacherGraph did to fix it.
Sure. Yeah, so one of the biggest pieces of feedback that I've been getting with communication in the schools is that there's just so many mediums, right? Teachers are sending notes home, schools are sending newsletters out, they're encouraged to write blogs and create websites. And what's really challenging for parents is that this is just too much. You know, there's too many things happening and there's no guarantee that they're going to get those messages. And so TeacherGraph's goal is to raise parent engagement through collecting all those pieces of information into one easy tool for everyone to use.
And why parent engagement? Why is that a core metric for you guys?
Yeah, that's a good question. Parent engagement is extremely important because it's strongly correlated to academic and behavioral performance for students in K through 12. And so we thought that this was one of the biggest levers that we could pull and one of the easiest, the lowest hanging fruit that we could grab in terms of just connecting those gaps.
And have you guys found, I guess, experientially, anecdotally, that one of the problems to parental involvement, which correlates to the success often of the child, is that it was the lack of infrastructure for efficient communication that was the barrier versus motivation of the parent to become involved?
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's all about awareness. You know, some of these parents aren't even receiving these messages, and it's hard for schools to determine whether they're getting them or can reply or not because there's no digital way of measuring any of this, right? So most of the parents we've talked to are like, we don't even get messages. You know, I don't have an email address, or I only have cell phone text messages.
Are you suggesting that there's some analytics involved where the school, the teacher and administrator, whatever it might be, knows which parents have actually read the message?
Right. That, and it also goes a step back. I mean, just knowing how to reach certain parents. You know, not all parents work the same way. Some of them are very email-centric, some of them are very text-message-centric, and some of them only work via phone calls. And so keeping track of all that is a challenge from the administrator's perspective all the way down to the teacher level.
So who drives, I guess, preferences? Meaning, does a teacher come in and tell a class, hey, kids, this is the URL that all your parents should go to if they want to communicate? Tell me a little bit about how you put in place that infrastructure and then how you onboard users so that you've got adoption.
Right. So one of the biggest focus points that we have is that everyone should get preferential communication, right? So if I'm a teacher and I can only receive emails during the day, then that's how I want my messages. Parents are the same way. Some parents are working in offices all day where they don't have the luxury of checking cell phones, or some parents are on the go all the time and text messaging is the best way to reach them. Everyone should get their own choice but not have to worry about remembering all those choices. So TeacherGraph handles that delivery. In regards to onboarding, you know, out of the box, all parents are signed up for text messaging and email. And we think this is important because most of these schools will be using this as their alert system. So say, inclement weather is coming by, it's important for a school to reach that community quickly. And if parents can go a step further and say, well, you know, I only want to receive academic updates once a week via email, and I want to get behavioral updates once a week via text messaging or as soon as it happens, it's all up to them. And we think that's really important in terms of engaging parents.
And so is this like an opt-in or opt-out type service where parents can say, you know what, I don't want to be engaged. You know, I'm going to opt out of this. Or does every parent automatically become engaged into this platform?
Right. Yes, because it's up to the school. So we want to become the school's number one communication platform. And part of the way this came about was just being able to connect with my nieces in Houston. I'm very close-knit with my family, and every time I've talked to them, they're in the teenage years. And so when I talk to them and I'm like, how's school? They'll just say it's fine. And I really want to get a better picture of how they're doing in classes. So kind of being on that contact list and getting these updates from their teachers would help me ask better questions and engage with them even better.
So when you're setting your preferences, you're suggesting that you can actually include other people in the distribution list and access list or access to this student's data? So is it just beyond communication that is, school's going to be closed on Wednesday, or, you know, here's the homework assignment for the whole class? Does it go beyond that? Are there other capabilities for this communication?
There is another element, and because we're all connected through these communication lines, we felt it was very strongly needed that we could implement a collaborative teacher notes, right, where teachers can share notes with each other based on that student and get some great learning moments from each other. Because generally they're working in silos, you know, these buildings or these rooms where they don't talk to another teacher for probably most of the day. So this is a great way for them to digitally communicate about a student and it stays attached to that student's
profile. And what about security over that? Because it would seem that's almost like a, it's not quite a medical record, but, you know, that's confidential information that's being discussed about this child between teachers. So what about other kids getting access to it and things like that?
Yeah, great question. We took a lot of careful steps to get a lot of feedback from administrators and IT departments at schools. And our main goal is to set up the teacher graph infrastructure and classroom structure to mimic the school's privacy infrastructure. So as a teacher, I will not be able to see any information of any other student that I do not have. And that'll populate throughout the entire school as well. So the permissions are set up inherently from day one. And so administrators can see what they need to see and teachers can see what they need to see.
You know, Joseph, it kind of strikes me as almost like instead of a CRM, you know, a customer relationship manager, it's a student relationship manager. I can pull up a student and see how he's doing in his other classes, how many absences he's had, and what his grades are like, and have everything managed from a dashboard, and then figure out what kind of engagement we have with that parent. And then you can take those analytics and extrapolate that at the end of the year to, well, if we have X plus Y, right, it equals Z. We've got certain number of parental engagement touch points. We've got certain amount of teacher engagement, participation from the student and the like. I mean, is that kind of the direction it's really going?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, right now we're really mainly focusing on communication because that's my background. That's what I know. That's how I know I can make the biggest impact. But down the road, we are hoping that schools see this as a platform where they can take the data points from our tool and kind of correlate them with other tools that they're using, like behavioral performance or academic performance, and make some really strong correlations and hopefully some learning moments there.
Do you think, and as you look at adoption of this, are you looking at public versus private or charter school, or where do you think the path of least resistance is going to be for you guys?
Yeah, we don't mean to discriminate. So anyone who can use a better tool that does some one or two things really well is who we're going to talk to.
This is a SaaS model.
This is a SaaS model.
Yeah. And in terms of implementation and costs, when we come back, I'd like to kind of visit the business model, how schools pay for this. Budgets are a big issue with schools. So when we come back, we're going to talk about getting this great tool, TeacherGraph, implemented, the cost to do so, and more. You're listening to the iLab Show. Do not touch that dial.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Did you know that in Austin you do have a choice when it comes to your utility provider? It's you. Why simply pay for power when you can invest in it? Call Freedom Solar Power and ask about the Freedom Power Plan. Lock in your energy costs today for as little as no money down and $82 per month. Finance the system with your energy savings. Call Freedom Power at 1-800-504-2337 and take control of your energy future. That's 1-800-504-2337.
And we thank you for staying with us as we continue our story here on the Austin iLab Show with one of our Austin startups, and we help you support them because they need your support. Their name is TeacherGraph. You can find them at TeacherGraph.com, and the way you can help is you can tell your school administrators all about TeacherGraph and tell them to go to TeacherGraph.com. They can watch a video, they can sign up for a newsletter, get more information, and they can learn how they can improve their school communication. And I think it's really important for people listening to think about how important the goal of the company is, because I think that really what you've built here isn't necessarily about a suite of communication tools. I think there's a lot of tools off the shelf for communication. It's about a platform that's appropriate for a very specific vertical, and that being education. There's very specific needs in education. I think you guys have kind of looked through that lens to build your product. But what for me is really, I think, powerful that people should be reminded is the end product is not efficient communication. The end product is more educated kids. And so I think any product that we can help teachers and we can help administrators and we can help communities and help parents and help teachers achieve the goal, which is more educated kids, that's what will make this country more competitive. That's what will help our economy. Ultimately, our more bright minds that can be part of kind of the 2.0 workforce, which is computer-centric, science-centric, math-centric. And I think that's really great. So I want to just remind people that there are some pretty powerful forces that you're working for. But let's get back to the business model. Talk to us about the expense and how do schools deal with that in their budgets and kind of things like that.
Yeah, so just talking to many schools, we see that a lot of schools operate like businesses, and there is a very strict financial model for them as well. And so we were hoping to get in there and replace a lot of the costs that they're already spending on. So paper, ink, and then time spent, you know, creating these newsletters and these notes home on in the Thursday folder every week, you know, and we price it to where the smaller charter schools and the smaller private schools get a cheaper price, and then it scales up as you go along. So for a small school of around 30 teachers, it's about $3 a month per teacher, which
wow.
is extremely affordable.
And do you do it based on teachers? Is that the metric that you use?
We do. We thought it could be way more affordable and useful for schools versus charging for students. So generally, folks in this space charge $1.50 per student, and that doesn't really take
that
into
adds
account.
Up.
That does add up. Really quickly, and that doesn't really mean that all the teachers are going to use it either.
So that's so $3 per month per teacher. You price it appropriate based on the size of the school. But have you successfully evangelized the price or the value against the fact that you literally are saving printing? I mean, has anybody actually gone through that process and said, "Yeah, we legitimately have saved about the same," or you know, or whatever?
Yeah, I think education is a really tricky industry. The knee-jerk reaction from most decision makers is we don't have the budget. But if we can sit down and really discuss the benefit here, the budget creative avenues open up, right? So maybe talking to the PTA or the PTO about raising some funds for this or replacing some of those major costs that we talked about earlier, you know? So that's been a really successful conversation.
So we're talking about money. One of the other things I'd like to ask is low-income communities where literally there's no budget. I mean, they're underfunded. They don't have enough teachers. They don't have enough books. So talk to us a little bit about that approach.
Right. So we thought that reaching low-income families is really important just because of the impact and the tools that they have, the schools don't have. And so one of the biggest common denominators for these low-income areas is that text messaging is still available. So by introducing text messaging and allowing schools to reach more of their community via the lowest common denominator, we can help them make a bigger impact and reach out to more families and get better engagement and thus, you know, raise student achievement.
That's the thing. As I'm thinking about the business model, it's almost like with private schools and maybe to a certain extent charter schools, the ability to sell at a premium is much higher. But the problem is a lot of those parents are already engaged, and that's why they're spending lots of money to send their kids to school, whereas impact really is on the lower income, as you said. And so how to make it palatable for a school district or a school that is budget conscious to be able to adopt this sort of thing. So do you see maybe one school adopting another in a low-income area, or what are some things that may drive that?
Maybe some grassroots opportunities where even a school can get adopted by the community, whether that community is sending kids to school or not, where they're literally like, sure, I mean, we're talking about...
Because the community's
got
the vested interest,
sure,
right?
Totally.
That's what we want is community building.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you'd be surprised. Even these in the well-off areas of town, your parents are restrained by just different restraints. You know, if it's not trying to, you know, make the mortgage, it's working extensive hours at your new startup or whatever. And so each... Independent of each community, there are the bell curve of parents. And my parents fell into the ones that are like, we really care, but we don't have the time to sit down and go through everything right. that's coming through your backpack every single night. Is there a better way? What is the top need to know items for the week? And I think just allowing them to get streamlined information can really help with that.
And I could see, too, getting a text message, Mr. Frazier, we're really sorry your son wasn't at school today. I hope he's feeling well, right? And all of a sudden, maybe if I was playing hooky,
yeah.
that was a nice way of saying, we want to make sure your children were actually in school.
Right. I would have been my worst nightmare about 10 years ago.
Now, you guys have not officially launched yet. I mean, I think you've got some folks in beta.
Right, so, we're in closed beta.
Yeah, and so, you know, the product is stabilizing, or it is, and you're evaluating what's what. When do you kind of go live?
We are going live August 17th. So right now we are in the works of revamping the website to start taking in those new clients. We are preparing for our launch party. We're having a soft launch party August 17th right on Congress here downtown. So
will there be beer?
There will be beer.
Fantastic. Then Kyle and
is
I
it an
are
open
available.
Tab or
yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Perfect. That's the Fitz pays we go. We're very busy.
Yeah, there's going to be free food, free beer. You know, the swag that you had requested earlier.
Oh, fantastic.
Tons of t-shirts.
Awesome.
Snoop will be there.
So. But mainly a time for me to kind of collect my friends, families, and supporters and the rest of my team to collect them and kind of thank everyone for putting up with all the trials and tribulations for the past year.
And let's remind the people listening, you know, for the last 2 years, this show has really been about innovators and startups here in the Austin community. And Austin is all about supporting their community. So the way that we can do that is we can go to teachergraph.com and we can forward that to people that are still have kids in school and let them know that there is a solution to better communication with teachers, better access to administrators. This is a two-way street, by the way. This isn't just about the fact that, you know, teachers now have a better path to parents because of preferences and so forth. But this now means the reverse is true, which parents now have better path back to the teacher. Often parents have questions. I don't understand why this amount of homework was issued for the weekend, or I don't understand why this assignment needs to be completed so soon. Often Johnny says this large assignment, in fact, was only assigned today and is due tomorrow. And in fact, it was assigned a month ago. So there's all kinds of great value there.
Right, yeah, and most of the communication that happens now is just quick updates, and that can be handled through text and email anyways, and TeacherGraph kind of anonymizes the contact information, so it makes it safe for everyone to communicate back and forth, and then parents can now respond back in real time. So, you know, if they're getting an important message at work and they can't come back to the school to pick the kid up or something, they can respond immediately via text as well.
Can parents create any sense of kind of community? Like, if I'm a parent and I've got kids in the same class as the other one and we're all communicating back with this teacher, is there a platform where we are having a sidebar and maybe even talking about things together as parents, or is that not allowable?
I mean, I think communities are great. I think community conversations are very important. The shared learning, everyone gets better. We don't have that built into the product now, but we're very, very open to feedback and suggestions.
Cool. Great. That's great.
That's awesome. Well, hey, just we're out of time, but thanks for coming on the show with us this week. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Any other
before
plugs?
You go?
No, I just want to thank the Austin community for their support so far and that we're going to be working hard to make it better.
That's great.
Great. Well, go to teachergraph.com, watch the video, pass along the contact information to educators and to teachers alike, and let's support Joseph Ann and TeacherGraph. Thank you to our listeners for listening. Thanks to BizTV for sponsoring. Check out BizTV.com as well.
Thanks to Snoop,
thanks
our engineer.
Thanks to Snoop, the sound engineer, who makes us sound a lot better than we actually do. Did you want to say something, Snoop?
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Stay tuned for more stories of technology and innovation in and around the capital city.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
If you know of an innovative company in Central Texas that would like to be featured on the Austin iLab, we want to hear from you. Please contact us online. Our website is austinilab.com. Our email address is austinilab@gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Austin iLab. Join us again next week for more stories of innovation in Austin. Thanks for listening.
Did you know that in Austin you do have a choice when it comes to your utility provider? It's you. Why simply pay for power when you can invest in it? Call Freedom Solar Power and ask about the Freedom Power Plan. Lock in your energy costs today for as little as no money down and $82 per month. Finance the system with your energy savings. Call Freedom Power at 1-800-504-2337 and take control of your energy future. That's 1-800-504-2337.